If you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 tonight. We're going to continue our mini-series on a deeper look at the Lord's Prayer. We're trying to finish that up, and we'll rehearse a little bit tonight from where we were, what we've been through, and where we want to finish up here. And I'm thinking maybe tonight or next week we'll have this wound up, and then we'll start another mini-series on something else. So, if you have your Bibles again, Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin tonight in verse 5. I know we're repetitive as we read this, but this is the text. So, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be like the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret will reward you openly. But when you pray, don't use vain repetitions like the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your heavenly Father or your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So after this manner, or after this pattern, therefore pray. Say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And with that tonight, this is going to be a deeper look at the Lord's Prayer, number 4, part 4. Amen. Let's go to prayer tonight. Father, again, we're just glad that we're gathered in your house, and I'm so thankful for those that have come out to hear your word tonight. And again, Father, we just implore the anointing of the Holy Spirit from heaven to touch the clay lips of the preacher. Lord, send the true teacher, the Holy Spirit, tonight. And Lord, let our hearts be encouraged. Let our hearts be illuminated. Let us gather the Word of God tonight, and let us be built up in the faith, Lord, as we just take a few moments, Lord, and hear the teaching of the Word tonight. Strengthen us, Lord, and be with us. Give Livestream their portion tonight, and everybody that would hear this message on CD or even DVD. And we just thank you tonight for all good things. And everybody said, amen and amen. We've been looking at the Lord's Prayer these last weeks. Well, I shouldn't say these last weeks, but for about the last month prior to us breaking for the holidays here, been dealing with this all-important subject. How many times have we, especially in full gospel Pentecostal circles, you know, when you have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we can pray in tongues, and that's a prayer language. Sometimes we can discount the teachings of what Jesus taught us on prayer. Because, you know, like Paul, we may pray much in the Holy Spirit. Maybe some of us don't. Maybe some of us aren't filled yet with the Holy Spirit. But I would encourage you that the Lord, upon the infilling of the Holy Spirit, does give you that prayer language. Use it. Build it up. Exercise it. It's good and it's right. Amen. It'll build you up. It'll edify you. You're praying in the perfect will of God. But even knowing the Holy Spirit was going to be outpoured, Jesus still taught his disciple, his followers, how to pray. Paul said it this way, "I'll pray with the understanding, and I'll pray in the Spirit." So Paul had two ways that he sought the Lord. Some was in his tongues. Thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. He wasn't talking about flaunting a gift. Paul just knew that in his quiet time, he prayed much in the Spirit or in the Holy Ghost or the prayer language or what we know as his that tongue that he received upon his infilling of the Holy Spirit, much like you and I do today. But even with that, Paul said, "I pray in the understanding also." And so understand, your prayer life will really have two dimensions. You can pray in the Spirit, and you're going to pray in the understanding. Now, is one better than the other? I don't really think so, because there are times we have to pray in our understanding to know that we have taken the burdens of our heart to the Lord in a language that we understand. But even when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we're still unburdening our heart, taking those things, but praying in the perfect will of God in a language that only God knows and hears and can understand. But yet you and I feel edified and built up after we have prayed in the Holy Spirit. Amen. So there's different various ways we can pray, but we're focusing really in this teaching on the teaching about Jesus teaching us what's known as the Lord's Prayer. And it's a powerful thing. I've said it this way, and you've heard me share this in this series, but before I was born again at the age of 25, even as a sinner, a weekend alcoholic, full of profanity and sin and everything else. I found myself, maybe because of my upbringing, but I've learned the Lord's Prayer as a little boy, and I would lay in bed at night before I would doze off, and I would just kind of recite that prayer. Now, the question would be, well, did God hear you? Did it do you any good? I'm going to say it this way. I think any prayer prayed sincerely, God hears, but God would see that desire of my heart for the Lord. Amen? That even though I was a religious man in the sense of religious, how can I say, a religious definition, I still didn't know Christ in my heart. I wasn't born again. I was just functioning in all I knew. Amen? And let me give you something to compare that to. Remember Cornelius in Acts chapter 10? He was an unsaved man, but he had a love for the Jews and for their God. And so he made a lot of prayers, and he gave a lot of alms. And finally, an angel is sent to Peter, who's just relaxing in the house of Joppa there at Simon the Tanner's, and God begins to deal with Peter about going to speak to this Gentile man, to know the way of salvation. So the bottom line is, whether we're praying that sincerely or whatever, God still hears it and sees the desire of the heart. He knows if that heart really wants the Lord, amen? And maybe that person is just functioning all they know. So the house of Cornelius, he was just functioning in all he knew. He was praying to the Jewish God, giving and supporting the work of the Jewish synagogues and different things, giving much alms, it says that he did. But God took notice of it, sent an angel to Peter, and Peter went and preached the way of salvation more perfectly, to the point that even when Peter was preaching the gospel to that household, the Spirit of God fell, and everybody in the house was not only born again, but filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? So realize, you know, the ways of God are past finding out. We can't just put this in a cookie cutter thing and say that, well, God never hears the prayer of somebody that's unsaved. I beg to differ. I do feel that God searches hearts. And when people are praying and all they know, I say this so carefully, even if a person's rubbing the rosary or saying prayers in a false religion, if that heart is really looking for truth, looking for the true God, I'm not saying that that prayer is doing them much benefit, but God is seeing it, and God will try to bring that person to true faith in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, none of us would be here, and none of us would be saved. Because God watered the very thing that we were brought up in, saw the hunger of our heart, and finally one day got our attention and brought us to the better way of truth, and then we came out of those things once our heart was illuminated, right? But before that, God searched the heart, and he saw you as you would maybe yearn for God or was looking for hope or something in your circumstance of life, and God saw the heart, and you're here tonight. Some way, somehow, God got you here. So Jesus is teaching about prayer. And we have to understand tonight, again, that prayer is a privilege for every true believer in Jesus Christ. And we talked about that prayer is basically dialogue, and it's dialogue with deity. It's you talking to God, amen? And understand that prayer is not really a system, it's not really a program. Prayer is just a heart communication with your Heavenly Father. It is you talking to the one who loves you, died for you, gave himself for you, and is intimately involved in everything, every facet of your life. He wants to hear from his children. Amen? And so understand that prayer, we get so bent out of shape because, listen, I've been in this thing 30 years. I'm still learning how to pray. Can anybody really write the book on prayer? Thousands of books have been written on it. But you know what? Even being born again, how do I pray? How do I talk to God? Sometimes you talk to God and you just go, Sometimes it's a groan of the heart. Sometimes it's a sigh. Sometimes it's a hallelujah. It's a glory. Sometimes it's just Lord talking to the Lord like you're talking to your best friend. Amen? But talk to him. Just talk to God. Talk to him. You know, so many times, you know, we pray by feelings, and we got to wean from that. And I don't feel God. I don't sense his presence. I don't think my prayer is getting beyond the ceiling. But if you did something wrong, you'd know God didn't see it. You know what I'm saying? If you uttered a word of profanity because you got upset about something, God heard me, you know. You know, it's funny that we'll know God hears us for those kind of things, but when we're talking to him, Satan tries to convince us that God isn't hearing you. You know, what's the use? Listen, I've heard those voices when I'm praying, it's like, what's the use? I don't sense it. I'm not feeling anything at the moment. You know, and there are times preachers, you know, and we're guilty of this, but if we're not careful, we can almost paint the picture that you're almost walking in this cloud all the time on this mountaintop, and that God's presence is always, you got goosebumps on your arms 24/7 because you're so in the presence of the Lord. You know, and I kind of used to think that that was the goal. We'd have to attain to so get into the presence of God that you're always feeling Him. But life isn't that way. Amen? The Bible says the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Times of it. Amen? So understand, there's times you got to get up, get the kids fed, get them off to school. You got to get dressed. You get out of bed late. You got to get to work. And, you know, the day is on you. The burden of the day is on you. You're not always feeling super spiritual, are you? You're not always feeling the glory bumps of God, you know? You know, but that's not to dissuade us from praying. We're to talk to God. We're just to commune with Him. We're to tell Him what's on our heart. Amen? So, and I'll guarantee you this. You're going to talk to somebody about your woes. That's human nature. You're going to talk to somebody what's bugging you. You're going to vent out somewhere. Amen? Why not just talk to God and let Him take the burden? You see what I'm saying? Amen? And so understand that's how it works. Talking to God. Prayer's dialogue. And then as we were looking at this, Jesus was teaching us in this text that all true prayer will be rewarded openly. You know, we'll be at peace. We'll be more stable. Our emotions will be more settled. We'll have more hope. We'll have more encouragement. Because I took my burdens to the Lord. I talked to the Lord. Amen? And this is the open reward. I begin to live a life where I'm becoming more stabilized. I'm getting through my day. I'm not coming apart as often. I'm not overreacting to things like I used to because I've taken my needs to the Lord and I give my burdens to Him. And as I do that, I'm learning He's carrying me more. Amen? And that's the open reward, that when things are coming against you and there's problems and situations, don't get me wrong, we react to things around us. We're still human. But the open reward is that I've taken it to the Lord and I'm more at peace, more at rest, because like Jesus said, bring your burdens to me. Amen? Bring your heavy yokes to Him. And His burden is light. He'll take it from you. Amen? And so that all comes as an open reward of prayer. But Jesus now teaches us how to pray, and it begins with our Father who art in heaven, and we covered that. Jesus was portraying the fatherhood of God, and God is seen as our true Father. And Jesus called Him our Father. Say, our Father in heaven. Even Jesus Christ refers to the heavenly Father, even though Jesus is equal, the three members of the triune Godhead are equal. He still, in a subservient way, acknowledges God as Father in His, how can I say, in His, when He humbled Himself and became a man, He submitted Himself to the fatherhood of God. And that's where He wants us to know that, even in Hebrews it said, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren, amen, even though He's Lord of all, see. So understand that our Father in heaven, we're addressing God, our Father. He's our Father. Amen? And when you get that concept in your spirit, you realize that a Father provides, He cares, He watches over, He's concerned about the blessing and the prosperity and the advancement of that servant, that child. Amen? Look at you as parents. Jesus said, if we be evil, know how to give good gifts to our children. Don't you think your Heavenly Father? Yeah, think about it. The burden, the concern we have about our own and what's dear to our heart. Well, God wants us to know, as our Heavenly Father, He is just as concerned a million times more than what we even are for our own, amen, because God is perfect and God's love is perfect. And so understand that tonight. Go to God and say, our Father who art in heaven. And not as only denote that this is Jesus' Father, but we all have the same Father. Amen? Amen? Which should get rid of all the cliques, you would think, because we're all of the same. We all possess the same righteousness, which is the righteousness of Christ. So I can't say my righteousness is better than yours, and yours is better than mine. I can't say that I'm one of God's favorites over you because you're His child too, and in God there is no partiality. Amen? That's a concept I think much of the body of Christ needs to understand. even the weaker brother. Liz and I have been having talks about this weaker brother thing. Even Paul said, don't kick your weaker brother because God is able to make him stand. Why? Because God is his father too. And God is the one concerned about that man's advancement in Christ more than you and I could be, see? So understand, God is our Father, and we're to address him as that, our Father which art in heaven. And again, of course, Jesus didn't say it here. He said it in another place. But when you go to the Father, always come to the Father in Jesus' name. Amen? So who do we pray? Do we pray to the Holy Spirit? Do we pray to Jesus? Or do we pray to God the Father? Jesus made it clear. We pray to God the Father in Jesus' name. Amen? Now, I think there's times when you're talking to the Lord, you might say, oh, Lord Jesus, help me here. That's still a prayer God can hear and acknowledge, and it will still hit the throne of God. Amen? Don't get me wrong. But we got teachers out there that have written books about Good Morning, Holy Spirit, and, oh, I talk to the Holy Spirit all the time. We're really not told to do that. We're told that God the Father and God the Son are the ones we acknowledge. And the Holy Spirit, the true Holy Spirit, magnifies Jesus Christ and magnifies God the Father. He doesn't say much about himself, amen? But again, I don't think if there's times, oh, Holy Spirit, help me here. I don't think that's wrong in itself. But we don't have this relationship where we're always addressing the Holy Spirit outside of God the Father and God the Son. We go to God the Father in Jesus' name. Amen? So that's what we have to understand. So prayer is pretty simple. It's not a hard thing. We make it more complicated than it has to be. So Jesus said then, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Remember, the God we're going to is holy. He is sacred. He's worthy of reverence and honor. And his name is never to be taken or made light of, or taken in vain or made light of. We even brought out how Israelites today, you'll see when they write something, if it's not in actual scripture, they'll leave O out of the word God, G-O-D. This was interesting, but I just like rehearsing this because think about it. Why do they do that? They were so concerned that if they would just write on a piece of paper, may God bless you. That if that piece of paper upon that person reading the note would crumple it up then, and when he's done with it and throw it away in the garbage, they so in their mind reverence God. They didn't want his name to be crumpled up as garbage, knowing that eventually something that paper would be discarded. So when they write God, they leave out the O, so they feel they don't offend God when that paper is discarded. Now, I don't really agree with that, you know, that we have to worry about it that way, but that's the way the Jewish mindset was. They so reverenced the name of God. But I do think we need a little more of that in the body of Christ. Amen. God isn't our big buddy upstairs. He's not the old man up there. You know what I'm saying? He's not the big boy in the sky. Amen. You know, so understand, you know, there's a lot of slang terminology as it regards it. And you hear it in the body of Christ as it regards God. We reduce God. When we're saying, hallowed be thy name, we're lifting God up to his rightful place. We're not bringing God down to our level. We're looking up to where he is. See? And so when we use language that brings God down to the human level, you know, he's my buddy, you know. The terminology, I know we don't mean bad by that, but we got to realize what we're doing. We're bringing God down to human level, but when we're called to come up to his level, amen. So when he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, it's remembering his right place of reverence and authority. So we're never to forget that. The God we serve is so holy that if we could just see heaven open just a little bit and look into the portals of glory, you're going to see seraphim and cherubims and seraphim falling on their face 24/7, crying out, how holy, holy, holy. In fact, one of the places says that they even shield their eyes with their wings because they can hardly look upon him. See, you know, and this is the God we serve. Amen. So we have to have that understanding too. Then he goes into thy kingdom come. So our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. The kingdom come is a petition. It's an invitation. It's really a call to arms. In this world, the power of Satan reigns, the spirit of Antichrist and powers and principalities rule the demonic realm in this earth. And God's kingdom is to move into this earth realm, but first in the hearts of people. Jesus would say the kingdom of heaven comes not with observation. In other words, the kingdom of God comes within the hearts of men. Amen? But that's what we pray. Thy kingdom come. You know, and some of you've been bringing this to my attention that you've just been asking that, not knowing how to pray for certain things. Lord, let your kingdom come to my children. Let your kingdom come into my home. Let your kingdom come into my circumstance. Let your kingdom come into Promised Land Church. Lord, visit us with your kingdom. Send forth your kingdom. Let your kingdom have its right influence. Amen? And may your kingdom come. It's not just talking about the future kingdom of God that will eventually literally be on earth, but it speaks of the here and now, when you and I need divine intervention in circumstances of life. Amen? Lord, may your kingdom come. May the influence of God be there. Amen? Amen. You know, it would be like praying for a city council meeting. You know, get up and pray if they let you, you know, and say, Lord, let your kingdom come into this meeting tonight. Let the power of God be here and every heart know it. Amen. You know, it's asking God's kingdom to invade, amen, by his Spirit. And so pray that way for things that are a burden of your heart, your children, you know, especially the wayward ones, the ones that don't know the Lord. You know, Lord, let your kingdom come to that house. Jesus said, even if the Son of Peace is there, you would know it, and you would know when he's not there. Amen. If it's not there, pray it in. Amen. Keep praying. Keep praying. I do that with my children too, especially my daughters. I pray, God, let your kingdom come into their house, their marriage, those children, grandchildren. Let your kingdom come. Amen. And it's going to have to take the Lord from that point on. And then he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is to be above our own will. His will is to be done here and now, not later. God's will is always right, and it's righteous, and it's holy, and it's always meant to bring life, peace, and blessing in the long term. This also speaks of heavenly harmony and unity within his will, for his commandments are not grievous. And thy will be done here on earth as it always is done in heaven without hesitation. And this really speaks of yielding to the will of God. Lord, let your will be done. You know, people say, well, how do I know the will of God? Some of it's just practical. There are things that we do and sometimes allow that we just know it's not the will of God that go on. At least within where we have some jurisdiction over that. Amen. We just prayed, let your kingdom come. Amen. So if his kingdom comes, now let the will of that kingdom be done. Let the will of God be done. Amen. Lord, let your will be done. And it's another kind of reminder that I am submitted to God the Father, and he is Lord. Jesus is Lord over my life. That means I have yielded myself, put myself spiritually in a position that he can govern me. I'm not my own. I am bought with a price. And if I belong to another, that means I am subjected to the authority of the one that is over me. Every true born-again believer in the body of Christ is under the authority of God. You're not your own authority anymore. And when you thought you were under the lordship of the powers of hell and darkness and Satan himself. Amen? So understand, none of us are an island to ourselves. It's not the Frank Sinatra song, I Did It My Way. That is the theme song of everyone that's in hell right now. They did it their way, and look where they are. Amen? So understand, in this prayer, Jesus addresses self-will. Let your will be done. Your will be done, Lord. Your will be done. And his commandments are not grievous. Amen. So understand, the will of God is a good thing. You know, you don't have to fear that in the will of God, he's going to send you over to Africa and you get Ebola and you're going to die. Now, if he calls you to that and you know it, then do it. Amen. God will take care of the rest. But, you know, his will is not grievous. You'll enjoy it. You will enjoy it. You will enjoy the true and the right will of God for your life. God don't want you miserable in his kingdom. You know, the picture story of the millennial reign of Christ was Solomon when the Queen of Sheba came. The Bible says at that time when Christ returns, the heads of nations will come and go to Jerusalem to visit King Jesus, who is basically ruling with David, the literal King David, ruling in Jerusalem again. Christ will be king of the earth. David will be king over Jerusalem. The tabernacle of David that was fallen down will be raised up again. Imagine that. The literal King David in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ will suit up and he'll reign under the Son of God. I have an affinity with David. I want to have a good talk with him. David's one of my favorite Bible characters, not his failures, but his valiant, his might, his love for God in the midst of it all. But we'll see him face to face, eyeball to eyeball, as we'll see King Jesus face to face and eyeball to eyeball. Amen. But understand, there's going to be ruling and reigning in this world. And it's all under Jesus Christ. And then Jesus teaches us in this prayer. He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." We've been dealing with this matter, and basically it's this. The language in the verse shows the daily need for prayer and asking this day our daily need, our daily bread. And daily bread isn't just natural provision. Daily bread is, Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So I have spiritual food that I need, and I need natural food. We need natural provision, but we need spiritual provision. Wednesday night, Lord willing, we're getting some spiritual provision tonight. Amen? Our spirit man's being fed a little bit. We're being encouraged in the Scripture. We're being taught how to pray and hopefully putting down some wrong mindsets and concepts as it regards prayer. We're learning a little bit of something. But this day, Jesus said, this day. You know, Jesus talked a lot about daily things going before the Lord. Taking up your cross daily, he said. This day, give us this day our daily bread. So Jesus was taught, there's a lot of things, you know, that we're reminded of by the Lord in Scripture that is a daily responsibility for the believer. I'm to daily acknowledge the Lord, daily talk to the Lord. I'm to ask Him daily for my needs. Amen. You know, I wonder, would things be a little different in our circumstances or in our life if we would just take that 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, whatever it would take, and say, Lord, I have needs today. The house payment is due by Friday. I need gas for the car. The insurances are due next week. My shoes are getting old, and I need a new pair of shoes. So, Lord, provide for them in the right way, right time. Give me a good deal on sale. And, you know, you would smile and snicker at something like that and those little needs, you know. But you know what's going to happen? I think God, over time, will start, you'll just be in a place, and all of a sudden you see the 75% off on the closeout rack, and there's that perfect pair of shoes, and you love them, they fit perfect. All of a sudden, a check comes in the mailbox you never knew, and you could put gas in your car. All of a sudden, God opens heaven, and all of a sudden, you got the house payment now. Now, I know a lot of us on fixed incomes and everything, it's easy to plan that all out, but when you're in business, it's like this. I don't know Friday if the money's going to be there or not. I know when it is, but when you pay the bills, I know how fast it goes. You got to get the work done and everything else. The point is, if we pray for our daily needs, whether we got provision or don't have provision, if we start taking our daily needs, you know, not just naturally, but even spiritually, Lord, I need more of a move of God in my heart. I need more mercy in my spirit. I need more love in my heart. Lord, I need more of your power. Lord, I need more forbearance. Lord, I need more scriptural understanding. Lord, I need you to do a greater work in my life that I can be of a better service to your kingdom, Lord. I need help to be able to share my faith with others. You see, our Lord, I need something from your word today because there's things going on in my heart and spirit that I need a word from God. Do you realize if that wasn't so important, why do you got half the church running out there trying to find a prophet to get a word? There's a need in that heart. There's an emptiness in that life. But if that individual will just take a little time and say, Lord, this day give me your daily bread, my daily bread, that which you have for me. And guess what will happen? You'll just be driving down the road and going through the radio stations. All of a sudden there's a Christian song going on. It'll have a lyric in it. And God will speak to you out of that. And the storm will just settle down in your life. Or he'll drop something in your spirit, a revelation about a scripture that you've been struggling with, or just a scripture that deals with the very thing you need help with. Amen? I mean, that's how he works. The point I'm trying to make is that if we would just go to him daily for our daily need, our daily bread, And get into that simple habit. Lord, feed me spiritually today. Feed me from your word. And Lord, provide my needs even in the natural. My financial need, my domestic needs, my relational needs, my whatever it be. And Lord, sometimes you lift them up one by one. Sometimes you just cover it all in a simple prayer. Lord, I have many needs and you know them all. Lord, but God, just remember me in this time. And watch what your Heavenly Father will start doing in a greater way than if you haven't asked him and prayed. I believe there's a divine providence with the child of God. There are times God has to be merciful to our iniquities and our shortcomings. Amen? There's times God will feed you even when you didn't ask to be fed. He'll provide for you when you didn't even ask to be provided for. God in providence will do that. But we're encouraged to pray by what Jesus is telling us. And I'm here to say, Jesus said, I think in John, is it 16? But he said, pray that when you receive, you'll rejoice with joy. In other words, you'll know that you're starting to see things happen in your life and you're starting to receive things in your natural life as a direct result of your asking the Lord. I don't know about you, but that always excites me. It builds my faith. It tells me God is hearing me and my prayer life is having an effect. Amen? And don't get me wrong, there are times you go through the difficulties. There are times where people aren't obedient and God has to raise up help from another source. Men will give into your bosom, but that every man is obedient to that prompting of the Holy Spirit to be a blessing when they're supposed to be a blessing. And there's times you've been prompted to be a blessing to somebody and you didn't obey. I've been there. Too busy with other things or whatever, and I felt in my heart I should call this person or you say something, and I didn't. And then, you know, and you feel checked. So what did God do? God still have to raise up help from another source. Even Mordecai with Esther there, you know, Esther, if you don't do this, God will have to raise up from another source. You didn't have to do that, but it shows you that sometimes in getting prayers answered, God is looking at the obedience of those that God is dealing with at times. Okay. So it's good to rehearse all this as we are. And then he says here, how can I say? And forgive us our debts. So give us this day our daily bread. Now he goes and he switches gears. And then he says, now forgive us our debts. This really deals with our trespasses and first of all our sins against God. And the believer is to approach God as one who is in debt, owing something to another. In this case, all debt is first to God, speaking of our debts, not another's. Notice the wording, and forgive us our debts. Our, meaning yours. Our problem in the body of Christ, because it's human folly, is when something's being dealt with us, we push it off to the other person. Lord, they're the ones. It's them. It's always somebody else. And don't get me wrong, sometimes it is. But here Jesus is telling us to acknowledge our transgressions first. And forgive us of our debts. Now our debts, all burdens, all debts, let's put it this way, are first to the heart of God for the believer. When you and I transgress, when we do something wrong, it's first against God. It's first against God. If I speak evil of my brother or sister, and it's unwarranted because I'm venting and I'm maligning them, am I sinning against them? Yeah, but I'm sinning against God first. All sin is against God first. Right? And that's what Jesus is trying to get us to see in this prayer. By saying, Lord, forgive us of our debts. You see, the Lord puts us first in this before we forgive others. Notice that? He didn't reverse the order. He didn't say, before we extend forgiveness to others, God deals with us first, is what I'm trying to say. And that's the order that Jesus puts here. We must first be humbled before we can properly forgive others, and then we can forgive them without retaliation. See, the forgiven servant went out and choked the one who owed him, if you remember that parable. We must ask for the forgiveness, for God's forgiveness, or we don't receive it. And there are times even where restitution may be required if prompted so by the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God tells us if we confess our sin, He is just and faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm going through these kind of fast because I want to get to something here before we close tonight. But the important thing is, in your and my relationship with God, that if I'm going to pray to God, and the reason a lot of people don't like praying and talking to God is because they're really not in right relationship with the Lord. You take a marriage where the communication has died. Those two are not in fellowship. And so communication is a nightmare. And they don't look forward to it. And you ever get the expression, two ships passing in the night? We can't communicate. We can't communicate. No, you can communicate. You're communicating very well. You're letting each of you know you don't like each other and you don't want to talk to each other. You're communicating when you're not communicating. You're giving the vibes that, you know, we're stuck in this thing. That can happen a lot, can't it, in a marriage? Well, God didn't want it that way, but in our relationship with the Lord, we can carry that over to that too. We have the issues of the heart that we have not taken to Him and said, Lord, help me, forgive me of my trespasses, my sins, my evil thoughts, my attitudes, my wrong desires, my stumblings, my wrong direction, my wrong motives, whatever it might be. See, forgive me my debts, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me. There's teaching now with the grace of God, some people that are preaching the message of the cross saying you never have to confess your sin, even if because the blood covers it all the time. You always got the imputed righteousness of Christ, so you don't have to confess sin. Well, I like what it's been brought up about that. Try that in a marriage, see what happens. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to fly. And the same with the Lord. If we're not to confess, and why did we have 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sin, He is just and faithful to forgive us. If we're always forgiven, listen, in potential, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We still have the imputed righteousness of Christ, but fellowship is broke between us and the Lord. Amen? That'll keep you out of church. It'll keep you out of the Word of God. It'll keep you out of listening to good Bible messages. It'll keep you from pursuing a deeper relationship with the Lord. And so we have to come clean with God. It's not that we get saved all over again, but if we have things that build up in our spirit, we go to God and say, Lord, help me, cleanse me from this. God, forgive me. You got to make me into what I'm not. You got to strengthen me. And that's all God is wanting, just an acknowledgement. That's all. That's all. It's really not so hard. Lord, and when you do that, you're humbling yourself. And that's the position where Jesus is trying to get the believer in, that we walk in a humble way before God and before men. We're not to be firecrackers. Amen. We're not to be short-fused. We're to be humbled servants of God that are in right relationship with Jesus Christ. That we talk to God the Father and ask Him for help and grace and mercy. Amen. We all have this need. Every one of us. See, there's no partiality here because we're all human. We all deal with these things. But don't get me wrong. We'll practice this the rest of our life. We got time to get it right. But God will keep working on us meanwhile. Amen. So, understand that this way. Jesus said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, this deals with the trespasses and sins of our offenders. You got to realize in a fallen world, there will be injustices done to us from time to time. Offenses will come. And at times, God even allows evil to afflict us. As one who myself has been forgiven, Jesus is teaching me I'm to extend that same forgiveness to the offender. It is good to name them to God, who will then begin to work on them. And so understand it this way, when you and I, first of all, were to have this position in understanding that, first of all, I have been forgiven of all trespasses and sins. So God isn't asking me to extend any kind of mercy or forgiveness to anything that He hasn't first done to me. You see, this is why Jesus said, and forgive us our trespasses, as we. See, it's this works two ways. I confess to God as I release my offenders. God releases me once I confess to him. Now, he wants me to take that same forgiveness that I've just experienced. I should be humbled because I've had to go to him and say, Lord, I've come short of the glory of God today. Now that I'm humbled because I have sin issues that I've had to take to him, now when people sin against me because all sin was against God, I hurt God's heart when I sinned. Now, when that offender hurt your heart, you're to extend that same forgiveness. Now, that doesn't mean there's going to be fellowship. That doesn't mean we go out for Friday fish fry now. There are some people that, as much as lieth in you, try to dwell at peace with all men. There are some people, our personalities or whatever, just so clash. But I am yet to love them. It doesn't mean we're going to hang around. Doesn't mean we're going to go grocery shopping together. Doesn't mean we're... You know what I'm saying? There are people that you'll have to forgive and release back to God. And I'm not to look at that as if I've done something really great and mighty, because look what I've had to do with the Lord. God has always taken us back to our personal relationship with him. Now, as I have treated you, showed you mercy, showed you compassion, forgiven you of all sin and iniquity and unrighteousness, now take a little bit of that and now extend it to your offenders. And there's a reason for that. It's not that God is going to let them off the hook and you took the brunt of it and now they just go scot-free. That person will never be dealt with by the Lord fully until you release them from your grip. As long as you have one hand on them by unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, God says until you let them go, I'm just not going to do a lot there. Because you're not understanding your forgiveness. See? But as we learn to release, then God can go to work in that offender and you go free. Remember, vengeance is the Lord's. He said, one day I will repay, right? Right? You don't have to repay. As much as we want to repay at times. And don't get me wrong, there are people that need to get kicked to the moon a couple times a day. We're not going to discount that, but that's not our place. That's not my place. Amen. My place is, as I've been forgiven, now forgive others. And I'll tell you what, that's going to be a fight of faith sometimes, friend. And we don't forgive based on our feeling, because you may forgive, and yet that storm may rage. But you're going to have to remind yourself from time to time, Lord, I've forgiven that person. I've given them to you. Lord, you're going to have to give me a love for them. You're going to have to give me patience with them, because it's sure not in me. But Lord, I do forgive them. And you may have to find yourself doing that a few times, maybe 100 times. Jesus said, if your brother asks you 490 times in a day, forgive, right? So realize that this is a process. Forgiveness just isn't it. We hear a message on forgiveness. Oh, okay, I got it. Okay, let's go on to the next thing. No, you'll go through some hard days. But you'll get the victory. It'll come. It'll come, and God will do a greater work in you and in I. Hallelujah. You see, this is also the pathway, and I'll close with this, for emotional vitality and health. Paul said it this way, be anxious over nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, just think on these. Think on these things. So what is Paul telling us? As brothers and sisters that have been forgiven by God, and you and I who have learned to forgive our offenders, don't dwell on the evils of other people. Don't dwell on all the evils of society. Paul, even in the Roman letter, said, be simple concerning evil, but wise concerning good. Because you know what? You're not going to change. You're not God. I'm not God. I can't change the heart of men. I can see it. I know it's evil. But the more you think about that stuff, the more, what does it do? It affects you. It affects me. He said, don't dwell on the negative, if we can put it that way. And we're not talking the power of positive confession. We're just talking about, listen, there are things that you can work yourself into a heart attack. You can work yourself. You can so preoccupy yourself and attitude yourself into an early grave. Panic attacks, anxiety, strifes. Amen? And listen, because of our evil hearts, we tend to want to dwell. Why is gossip a tender morsel? There's something in us. We light up when we hear things that are dirt. That's our nature. Oh, really? That they did that? Oh, really? Oh, brother, I got a prayer request. Brother so-and-so got himself in some trouble. But because we're praying about it, I'll just tell you what it is. And we can pray. You know, how we spiritualize the evil. We're to do everything to cover and hide people. In other words, let God deal with that thing. You see what I'm saying? But this is all in this prayer. And this is what I love about this prayer. It covers everything, including the kitchen sink. Amen? So learn to dwell on more the positive, the good. He said, if there be anything positive, if there be any praise, then let's start at least thinking about that. And you know what? I think that's enough. That'll keep us busy for the rest of our life. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a time, if there's something really going on, you have to discuss the matter. Sometimes the evil has to be talked about, brought up, and dealt with. We're not talking about, Paul's not talking about that. But there are some people that every day, all they're doing is thinking about all the negative, the upset things, all the no good things, all the evil. And what does that do? It makes you and I an emotional wreck. It'll drive you crazy, doesn't it? And friend, we all need help there. Every one of us, yours included. So, amen. I thought we'd get through all the Lord's Prayer, but maybe we just need one more Wednesday on it. But realize, Lord, forgive us as we forgive others. Amen. Hallelujah.